Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 3 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 10, 35 through 52. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, speak to us. We want to know you more through your word today, not just more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word to be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 10, starting in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory. You know, when anyone comes and says, hey, I want you to just, I want you to write me a blank check. I want you to do this thing that I'm going to ask. I'm not going to ask you yet. I just want you to tell me that you're going to do this thing for me. Whenever someone asks that, it's like, okay. All right. I see where this is going. What do you want? What is it? I don't know that that's the way that Jesus responded. I have a feeling he didn't respond like that, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That's how you want to respond. It's like, okay, what's coming? What are you going to ask me for? So like, we want to be your top two guys, Jesus, make us your right-hand men. That's what we want you to do for us. When you come into your glory, he's just told them, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to die. All right, and then I'm going to rise from the dead. And they're like, right. Interesting, but weird. But hey, listen, Jesus, when you do like take over the kingdom and all that, when you're king in glory and here and remember, we've been following you, so can we be your right-hand men? And Jesus says, verse 38, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. And he's thinking, you can't. No, it's not going to work that way. You don't even have any idea what I'm talking about, but okay, you say that you can. Continues verse 39. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. So he says, can you drink the cup? Can you go through what I'm about to go through? I'm like, yeah, we can. And Jesus is thinking, he didn't say this again, but he's like, you don't even actually have any clue what I'm talking about. You don't know what I mean. But then he switches into prophecy and he says, actually, you will go through what I'm going to go through. You will be persecuted and you will be martyred. And even this prophecy, like at the moment, they're not getting it. Like they don't understand. Now, Mark writes this down because we understand, and they understood after this, that they were going to go through this. And we know that James, one of the two here, he's the first martyr. And at least John, he did get thrown in a vat of boiling oil, as far as we understand. We don't know how he died. We know that he died. Don't know how that he died, but there was at least an attempted martyrdom in his case. So in these situations, yes, they did go through the baptism that Jesus went through. They did have to go through this. His prophecy was true. But again, they didn't even understand it as a prophecy at that point. Verse 41. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. I would say so. Verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is, obviously, when everybody else hears about what's going on, we know in another gospel, it wasn't even just that they asked this, it's that they got their mother to ask them, to ask Jesus this question, which is somehow even worse that they pulled her into this to ask Jesus this. makes everybody else mad. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Because they're mad because they didn't think of it first. But they're like, oh, you want to be the top two guys, huh? That's what's going to happen. You want to be in charge of us. That's how you want to play this. And Jesus says, listen, this is how people of the world, this is how, when he's saying the Gentiles, he's saying, you know, when I think you could make a case that even within the Jewish rulership at this point, that they're doing a lot of the same things. But he's basically saying it's really normal for pagan people to use and abuse whatever amount of authority they get over someone. They use it and abuse it as much as they possibly can. And at least within the law, that was not allowed. You're not supposed to do that. The law is very clear about that. You're not supposed to live like that. And so I think people would, I think maybe in some more subversive ways, but amongst the Gentiles, amongst the pagans, where there's really like no set of rules, right? The golden rule amongst the pagans is he who has the gold makes the rules. Right. And so if you get to be rich and powerful and you can be over people and assert your authority, you get to. That's your right. And if you can use and abuse people because you are their boss or you have something over them, that's like a privilege that you've earned by getting to that point. And so why wouldn't you use it? That's what Jesus is saying. It's like, this is normal amongst these kinds of people. It's not supposed to be normal with the Jews. We have, like, I've given you rules about this, how to live your life, but he's like, it's normal. Like, they don't even see it as a problem. Like, at least with the Jews, they would see it as a problem, but the Gentiles, they don't even see that as a problem. He says, don't be like that. Do not do that. No. I came to serve, not to be served. And of all the people, of all the beings on planet Earth, Jesus is the one who should not be doing any serving. He should only be served by other people. And so he's like saying, I'm giving you this example that you should follow on my behalf. Let's continue on. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. This is an interesting thing here that Bartimaeus understands that Jesus is son of David. I don't know if he's done some research. He's talked to people and find out, you know, what we know from the other Gospels, Matthew and Luke, that he is actually a descendant of David. Or if he's heard about what Jesus has done and he is assuming that he is the Messiah, the son of David. One way or another, however it's working out here, he understands who Jesus is and he's acknowledging it publicly, shouting it as loud as he can. And this catches Jesus' attention. Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I mean, he just throws everything down, right? He doesn't want anything to trip him up or encumber him. So he throws his outer cloak off and he comes to Jesus as fast as he can. Like, no one is going to tell this guy no at this point. I mean, they're telling him no and he's shouting louder. He's thinking to himself, you are not the authority that I care to hear from. If Jesus tells me to shut up, then I'll shut up. But everybody else, he's like, I don't care what you say. I'm going to shout until he hears me. Verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Blind man says, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Here's one of those cases where Jesus doesn't touch him. He just speaks to him. He just tells him, you're healed. I love this exchange on so many levels. You know, there's some exchanges where, you know, it's like, if you're willing or if you can or whatever else. But this guy here is acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. That's what he's saying when he's saying son of David. He's saying Son of David. He is acknowledging him publicly as the Messiah. This is an Old Testament prophetic phrase that the Messiah is the Son of David. And so he's shouting that. However he knows that or thinks that, whatever it is, he is acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. And he's shouting, Son of David, Messiah, Messiah of Israel, have mercy on me. So Jesus comes and says, what do you need mercy from? What is it that you want? He says, I'm blind. I want to see. I think it was obvious when Jesus saw him that he's blind. And so he leaves that part out, but he says, I want to see. And so Jesus says, okay, you're healed. And immediately he could see. And what does he do? He doesn't run home to tell his family or friend. He follows Jesus at that point. He follows him into Jerusalem. I love this story. Because here Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to be killed as a blasphemer for presuming and assuming that he was the Messiah. And here is someone else proclaiming his messiahship on the way into Jerusalem right before he dies. What a powerful moment. What a powerful moment. What a powerful moment of transformation for Bartimaeus. What a powerful moment for all of those in attendance, all those who were there to see this and to hear this. He's proclaiming him the Messiah, and Jesus goes over and heals him. And just in a couple of days, most, if not all, of these people who just saw this are going to turn on him. What an amazing and sad moment all at the same time. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.